Tonight, we're diving into a conversation that is raising serious questions across both political and faith communities. Are some of the evangelical voices surrounding President Trump strengthening the movement or crossing a line that risk undermining it? I'm Scotty Nell Hughes, and this is America First. Faith has always played a central role in American politics, particularly within conservative circles. But in recent days, a moment caught on video has reignited a growing concern. At an Easter event hosted at the White House, President Trump's longtime faith advisor, Paula White Cain, a two-time divorced and now married to the keyboard player from the band Journey, made headlines after comparing President Trump to Jesus, citing betrayal, arrest, and false accusations as parallels. Now, the reaction was immediate. Critics, including theologians, pastors, and political observers, called the comparison everything from blasphemous to heretical. Others defended the remarks as symbolic or taken out of context. But the broader question remains, when faith leaders begin elevating political figures to the level of biblical comparisons, what does that say about the movement? And what does it mean for credibility, both politically and spiritually? Now, questions about credibility and even institutional controversies, such as the recent dismissal of a U.S. Army chaplain by Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. For the first time in history, Hegseth actually removed Army Major General William Green, who has served in that post since 2023. Now, see, traditionally, a person serves as Army Chief of Chaplains for a four-year term. No reason was given publicly for Green's dismissal. But some wonder if Green's disagreement on the war in Iran is being justified by biblical reasoning, as Secretary Hegseth has publicly suggested. So this leads us to this broader issue, not whether faith belongs in politics, but whether it is being handled responsibly within it. So we're asking, is this helping the movement or hurting it? Well, joining me now are our two guests. We have Jake Shields. He is a former champion level fighter and now a prominent podcaster. And we have friend of the show, legal and media analyst Lionel. Thank you so much for joining me, Jake and Lionel.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
So before we get into our topic today, I have to run over Trump's Truth Social post from this weekend and get your reactions. So on Easter, he threatened to destroy Iran's infrastructure considerably. He said, opening the effing strait, and let me just say, he said the word. There was no blocking out any words, and said, praise be to Allah. How are we supposed to understand this? Jake, what do you think?
I think he's gone completely mad. It's embarrassing. It's a joke. He's just, his whole tweets, it's just tweet after tweet, are just completely pathetic. He's doing war crimes, bragging about it, telling people to watch Mark Levin. That was, he ran against those people, against the Lindsey Grahams, the Mark Levin. That's why I did vote for him the first term. I didn't the second two, but I did vote for this guy. I did believe in him. He's been a complete con man, complete liar. He only seems to serve Israel and the Jewish people.
You know, Lionel, I want to get your feelings on the tweet that the Truth Social, and like Jake, you've been a longtime supporter. You've actually been an advisor in the first. When you saw that tweet yesterday, the Truth Social post, what were your thoughts?
I thought he was hacked. I thought some drunken lunatic hacked his account. Some guy at the end of the bar. Listen, this is inexcusable. Right now, people are saying, look, if I sat down with the president, I would say, permission to speak, sir, because he likes that. I'm going to say, you're coming across like a lunatic. They're already questioning whether you're too old. I don't think you are. They're looking at your ankles and bruises. So we don't need to do anything to throw any more fuel in that fire. People are thinking you're at the first or last stages of dementia. Everybody knows that crazy uncle or parent who went berserk and walked around exposing themselves and screaming inappropriate things. And that's what you're doing. You're dealing with, say what you want about the rest of the world, but they're refined and they're classy. Always hold your cards. Never tell anybody what you're going to do. In fact, scare them with how reserved you are. This is the most important thing in the world. Look, I agree with Mr. Shields here. This is nuts, and you don't have to do this. We're the United States of America. One of the benefits is we don't have to say this.
Well, and that's what's interesting, because it kind of ties to how we were going to have this conversation in the first place. I don't think anybody elected Donald Trump to be our faith and our spiritual leader. He's not one that quotes scripture. In fact, he's even admitted he doesn't even know a scripture. But when you have a faith advisor comparing him to Jesus Christ, even in the context of shared experiences like betrayal of accusations, it drew this sharp criticism. So, Jake, where is there a line here? Is this simple language, or does it cross into something that risks damaging both the Christian faith community and political credibility?
It 100% crosses the line. It's complete madness. I think he does believe he's like a Jesus-like figure, or maybe like Cyrus, you know, like the non-Jewish Messiah. He like believes it. And it's not just him. Like, look at when I saw the people he was appointing, like the Pete, I can't pronounce his name. He's a lunatic. He's talking about rebuilding the third temple, they're trying to bring back the Messiah, but we're not the Messiah. It's like the Antichrist they're trying to bring back. I don't know. These people are mad and they believe it. Same thing with Mike Huckabee. He's talking about, you know, the Greater Israel Project. You see the people out there, they're trying to bring it back. The people, they're true believers, they're fanatics, and they want to bring this back, and it's definitely crossed in. And I don't know if Trump actually believes the religious aspects, like you said, but some of these other people do. And what was the girl that had the Jesus thing? She said, give 10% of your money to Israel. We already are giving 10% of our money to Israel with taxes, so I'm good on that.
Well, it's interesting with Paul White. And let me point out, I expected for Mike Huckabee. He was a Southern Baptist preacher. We knew, hence why he didn't win his election, because people did not want to elect that into the office. Trump's agnostic. Lionel, you've probably had these conversations with him. And you look at some of these increasing sayings, some of these evangelical letters that he's surrounding himself. They're not acting as spiritual amplifiers, but they're political amplifiers as well. And they're kissing up to power and telling him things that, as you point out, Donald Trump likes to hear. So when praise becomes this elevated, does it actually undermine the very role that these leaders are supposed to play?
That's a very diplomatic way of saying it. Now, by the way, my word for you, Shields, don't sugarcoat it. Tell us what you feel. Don't ride the fence. Come on, man. Yeah. Look, I have nothing but respect for, remember the Billy Grahams. Remember Billy Graham. This was of all, bringing somebody who was sober, moderate, respectful. I don't want to say any, I've seen this woman in action. And if ever there was, I mean, I thought, is this like Amy Semple McPherson? Is this Ruth Stapleton Carter? Is this some atavistic avatar from some past? Is this one of the praise Jesus? Are we going to snake handling next? It gives evangelical Christianity, whatever, a bad name. Does anybody vet this? Does anybody say, excuse me, can I ask you something? Before you talk to the president, what are you going to be saying? Does anybody care about optics? Does anybody care about any of these people, whether it's Pam Bondi, Cash Patel, don't get me started, Noam, and now, I mean, is anybody paying attention? Because as you know, Scotty, nobody's really paying attention. We just go on optics. Very quickly, everybody should ask, are you going to be talking to somebody who next week, Saturday, or Friday or Saturday, will be an SNL skit? Why are you picking these people who are outsized and appear to be, oh, what's the word? Insane. That's what I want to know. Out of 350 million people in the country, where did you get these losers from? I mean, who is vetting this? He doesn't deserve this.
Okay, let me speak on behalf of all of those that have been parodied by SNL, speaking as the one that has been. Don't parody them all. Now, this new crowd, yes, you know, my parody was not as bad as some of the others have been. That being said, I think you're very much right, Lionel. Are these people being put in because of their credentials and what they can do, or more importantly, about how they can stroke his ego? And that's what we've kind of seen in all of this. But Jake, there's a bigger, deeper question to all of this, because it's not, you've got people like Alex Jones who's come out and he's actually said he believes that there is a demonic curse on the White House, that there's a possession going on, that these folks have brought all of these evil spirits in that is changing him. And I think Lionel and I were talking about how something's changed about President Trump, even from the first time, but even from a year ago. Does this actually hurt not only the White House, but also Christian believers when outsiders look at the stuff that's happening in the White House and go, I don't want to be a part of that clan?
Yeah, no, they feel demonic. You know, this feels like I was never religious, but I'm becoming religious because it feels like there's a spiritual battle going on and these people are evil. And I don't think Christianity is evil by any means, but I think they're taking that and they're using it for evil. It's kind of like, you know, how like ISIS or Al Qaeda, they're an offshoot where they become evil and just distort religion. I think that's what Trump's doing, and it's destroying the whole country. These people are lunatics. And like you were saying earlier, I think he only puts yes men around him. He have to stroke his ego. If anyone says like, hey, Trump, maybe that's not a good idea, he'll fire him. I don't think he doesn't even go on Twitter. He only posts on Truth Social. So it's all he sees is Trump, you're the greatest president ever. Trust the plan. He doesn't realize he's currently the least popular president in American history. This is the war we went in. I think when he first launched it, it had like 30% approval or less, the least popular war by far. No one even really knows why we're fighting it. Are we fighting to get the strait open? The strait was already open. Like, no one has any idea what is happening. It's embarrassing. In fact, one last thing, the girl, Noam, your last name, her husband, did you guys see that? She was wearing these giant, he was dressed like a woman with giant big breasts. It's just, what kind of, where do they get these people? Where are they from? It's insane.
Well, and it's the same vetting that I think Lionel was talking about. Like, where are we getting them? Why are we not getting people in there that actually know what they're talking about? But I think even might even go a little bit past that one when it comes to this situation, because Lionel, because these spiritual advisors, I mean, you heard what Jake just said. President's popularity is actually the lowest, but if you turn on certain news networks, especially the ones that he watches, you would think he is still king. You would think that everybody loves him and that he has made America great again, that everybody's praising him. And yet, it seems like there's this major disconnect from what is happening on the streets of America today and what is being told to the president of the White House. Do you feel like that's happening, or is he purposely know that and just disregarding and doing what he wants anyways?
To an extent, a combination. I don't think he knows what's going on.
Oh, let me throw it to Lionel real quick.
Oh, no. No, I don't think he's insane or anything like that. I do, however, think he's in a bubble. I don't think it's egomania per se. But as far as some of these other cable networks, if he were to do a bet, if I were to bet him, if I said, Mr. President, let's just be crazy. I want you to go on and announce that you're going to bomb Cleveland, just for the heck of it. Watch what certain conservative cable news networks will say. They'll say, fantastic. It's about time. They will say anything he says, and he knows this. Look, I'm going to say something, and I would say it this way. I would say, Mr. President, do you know what people are saying? Not what I'm saying, but you know what people are saying? They're thinking, especially when it comes to you and women, you pick either women who look young, quote, hot, or on some type of cable news show, or somebody that you like. You like men who do. I've never seen more push-ups and pull-ups from grown men in my life. And you're in the biz. I've never seen this. George Marshall couldn't do a push-up. This is crazy. Look at Alina Haba. Look at the U.S. attorney from Virginia. These people don't know what they're doing. And he doesn't seem to care. And here's the worst part. When people say, ah, that's that Trump, that's that 5D chess. That's the part that's killing them. There is no chess. There is no game here. Up till now, I think by the grace of God or luck or happenstance, sometimes when he did things contrary to what people thought was acceptable or thoughtful or practical or logical or strategic, and somehow he benefited. Why? Because he was up against a man who was incontinent and was yelling, who ordered the veal cutlet? And a woman who wouldn't shut up, and she laughed all the time. Well, guess what? You're on your own now. And you're up against some of the craftiest, classiest, most dangerous people in the world. Biden's gone. You know, it's a different story now. There's no more rallies. This is hardcore. And as Mr. Shields says, and I agree, remember the first rule from Colin Powell regarding war. It's the Pottery Barn rule. If you break it, you own it. What is our goal? What are we doing? What's happening? It defies logic. And one last word, midterms. Dear God, midterms.
We all have to agree. He has done one thing. He has divided the Republican Party, his base. You have MAGA and you have America First. And sadly, they used to be just a few months ago the same thing. And now it's completely separated on so many ways. Jake, Lionel, stay with us because we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we will look at what exactly does this mean for the future of the America First movement? And can faith and politics coexist without crossing these lines? Has it happened before? Stay with us. We'll discuss. Welcome back to America First. Tonight, we're examining whether evangelical voices surrounding President Trump are helping or hurting the movement, particularly as controversy grows over how some leaders are publicly framing their support. Joining me now back again are our two guests. We have Jake Shields. He is a former champion level. In fact, I think you're still a champion level fighter and now a prominent podcaster. And we have friend of the show, legal and media analyst and a podcaster as well, Lionel. Thank you both, Jake and Lionel, for staying with me. Jake, I want to talk about trust. When voters, especially these younger voters, see religious leaders making comparisons that many consider extreme, does it strengthen their confidence in the movement or push them away?
Pushes them away. And I think the religious aspect could work. The reason it doesn't work is because people spent the last, last 3 years watching just pure evil. You know, young people have access to social media. And what we saw was hard to watch. You know, I'm a father, I have children, watching kids' arms blown off. And then, you go in like the Israeli telegrams and they're laughing at it, mocking it. It just really hurt. It's just anyone with compassion watched what they did. And then Iran. Our first strike, we go and hit a woman's school. We talk about caring about the Iranian woman, and the first strike is to hit a school, killing, 100 schoolgirls. It's just sick and demonic. This isn't a Christian. This isn't a godly thing. It feels like they're fighting for demons, and this is something I'm struggling with, being an extremely proud, patriotic American. I just traveled the last 3 weeks overseas. The first time in my life, when you tell people you're American, you feel a little weird. Sometimes they look at you a little funny, and it's like, I love my country and I want to take my country back. Some people are like, oh, you hate your country, you're a traitor. And it's like, no, I absolutely love my country, which is why I'm criticizing Trump, why I'm criticizing this war that has absolutely no reason.
Well, and Lionel will absolutely back me up on this. You criticize, sometimes you get taken off the Christmas card list or you get taken out of the social circles on this. If you are fear of telling the truth of it, they don't want to have the truth around them, Lionel.
Oh, let me tell you something. In the old days of talk radio, there was a thing called the shock jock. Mm-hmm. And the shock jock was the guy who talked about sex. You know what shock jock today is? The truth. Right now, for the first time, there was a recent report where young people are showing this incredible resurgence or this attraction to the Catholic Church. Young people in particular are looking for, I think, the moral framework, the positiveness, the kind of the stricture and structure of what religion used to be. And so they're primed. So what do you do when they're paying attention to the Bible, to God, to whatever the particular manifestation of this is? You're throwing this in. You're getting these hellfire and brimstone Tammy Faye Baker types, and you also have an infusion of a brand new force, and that's the Candace Owens and the Tucker Carlsons and the Max Blumenthal's and everybody else, who for the first time are talking about something and a word that I have never used, heard young people use in almost 40 years I've been doing of actually talk radio and everything, and that's the word Zionism. Never heard it. Nobody ever talked about it. Never. It was presumed. And so for the very first time, people are now, it's a new world. So people are asking constantly, what does this have to do with Israel? Now, if I said France, Germany, Italy, they would say, that's an interesting question. That's a geopolitical question. We have now been, or they want us to be conditioned to the fact that if you were to ever use the word, the I word, in any discussion whatsoever, you're an anti-Semite. Now, we've been through this with transphobe, and you're a racist, and you're... And so people have understood, look, now you're applying that defense mechanism. So let me tell you something. In the past, 5, 10 years, everything is reversed. What used to be the standard go-to model and message of the Republican Party isn't there anymore. And people are asking a very simple question. Look, my generation was the Vietnam War. I thought we learned from that. We didn't learn anything from that.
No, that's exactly right. And to Lionel's point, Jake, you have these younger folks going, I don't want to sign up and go over to fight a war or potentially get drafted in a war that I don't believe the reason why we're fighting. Like you said, they have social media. You cannot convince a public to go to war without giving them truth and honesty and integrity as justification for it, like they've been able to do in the past. Propaganda is a lot harder to push down people's throats with modern society. That being said, we're going to bring this back to the theology and the Christian, the damage this potentially could be doing. Trump never said he was going to be, he's this huge spiritual man, Christian spiritual man. He never pushed it. Do you think part of the backlash in all of this is because all of a sudden you have these people trying to push the religious side of it as well? If Trump would have just stuck to policy and said, this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing, could agree, disagree with it. But now you have this religious Christian aspect that if you don't go along with it, that you're a bad Christian. You are bad in your faith because you're, and they've tied the two together so much.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious to anyone paying attention. Trump's not a good Christian. He's not a follower of God. He's a womanizer, gambler. I don't know about a gambler. I might have that one wrong, but womanizer, he's clearly not like a man of God. So this is obviously a lie. And he's doing everything the opposite of what he ran on. He ran on no more wars, no more foreign wars. That's literally what he ran on. That's why I voted for him the first time, and free speech. But now they're passing anti-Semitism laws. And I've been nominated anti-Semite of the Year, won these anti-Semite wars for criticizing Israel. I've never criticized. They maybe turn you more anti-Semitic, the more they attack you. First time 3 or 4 years ago, I started criticizing Israel. They started giving me these war awards, trying to get me fired from all my jobs, trying to ostracize me, cost me big financially. Now things are changing because people are flooding over and realizing everything I've been saying is true. But initially it costs you so much money. They try to completely destroy your life in every way possible. And as far as Trump and the whole religious thing, anyone with eyes can look and be like, this guy is not a Christian. It feels more demonic than godly.
Well, and Lionel, to his point, like you say, Zionism a few years ago, 5 years ago, was definitely more part of the liberal movement. It's more of the Democrats. But right now, the Democrats aren't having to do anything. They can sit back and eat their popcorn and watch the midterms go down and be quite entertained.
Well, be very careful, because I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to hear anything on the left or the right. Nobody talks about this. I've never seen anything like it. And the worst part about it is actually has the negative effect. Years ago, Ronald Reagan realize, look, I'm not the most, not spiritual, but I'm not the poster child for Christian evangelicalism. So anyway, so what he did was he just said, basically, he would refer to it, but he kept it in check. You can't bring, you can't make Trump basically all of a sudden act as uber evangelical, because it comes across staid and plastic and artificial. Remember years ago when they burned that the church directly across from the White House? At the Lafayette Park, St. John's or whatever, he walked across and he held a Bible up, like almost like Dracula, like where you're trying to in an exorcism or something. And he didn't mean, and he meant the message was good, but whoever works on his optics said, no, this is not the way you do this. Because if ever you try to push something that you're not really normally conversant with, it comes across as not real, inarticulate, and sometimes artificial. And that's not, look, he's a good guy. He's a good man. He just has to realize, this is my strength. This is what I do. I don't have to necessarily have a hellfire and brimstone, Amy Semple McPherson here, Ernest Angley on my dais in order to convey to the world that I'm either a man of faith or what have you. Sometimes it's his optics. Whoever arranges this, whoever works on the stagecraft should be fired immediately.
Well, go down your list of that, because it's obviously not doing him any sort of good at all. Jake, when you look at what the average person is, from some reason, it looks like Christian conservatives seem to be more, and I say some, the evangelicals are the crowd that seems to be more pushing the Israel policies right now and going at war with Iran and justify it, saying that this is good, this is what we're supposed to be doing as Americans. Do you see that? And how are the Democrats, have they been able to dupe the Republican Party to almost 180 completely switch their position just from a year ago to a year and a half ago?
Yeah, I think it's interesting. The Democrats have actually not been that critical a little bit, but they've been pretty silent considering they attacked Trump nonstop for anything else he did. Like, I think they attacked him way too much. Now they're mostly silent. I mean, I think they should drop articles of impeachment, but they haven't for two reasons. One, he launched a war without congressional approval, and he also broke the law by not a reason. He was ordered to release the Epstein files, and he refused to do it. Why are the Democrats so quiet? It shows both sides are controlled by these people, and Trump's just launched this war. Is doing nothing for America, and we're fed up. And I don't think, like I said earlier, I don't think he has a plan whatsoever. I think he just attacked. I think his advisors told him it was going to be easy. He was going to kill the guy. There's going to be a revolution. So he bombed him, and then he's just completely clueless. He's trying to get a ceasefire, but twice he asked for negotiations for ceasefires, and he bombed Iran during the negotiations. So Iran, rightfully, has no interest in negotiating with Trump, and he just has no clue what he's doing now. He's in a lose-lose situation. If he walks away, we'll have taken a loss to Iran. But if he stays in it, Americans die, people suffer, gas prices go up. Like, I'm like upper middle class, and I just bought family plane tickets, and I was shocked at the prices. It's like, people aren't going to be able to travel and stuff. It's going to kill the economy.
Okay, so Lionel, how does he save this, not only with the spiritual sector, but just politically for the next 7 months until we get to the midterms? Can he save himself, and what is the best recipe that you would suggest him to follow?
Yes, spend some time going back and listen to what he used to say. Mm-hmm. You know, don't make America great again. Make Trump Trump again. I don't know who this is. I don't know where he's from. I don't understand this iteration. Let me tell you something. I sincerely believe this man is a patriot deep down inside. He's flawed. Look, he never said, I'm going to be Pope, whatever that means. He never said, I want to be canonized. I think he's a good person. He doesn't need this. This man, remember, he withstood and endured an assassination attempt. If that wasn't miraculous, if that was not the wake-up call of wake-up calls, something happened, either his advisors, his vision, or something. He's got to go back and say, stop it. Go to the American people and say, I'm going to return to what, do something drastic and say, I have strayed. I apologize. I know this sounds crazy. You think he's ever going to do it. But I was listening to the wrong people, and I owe you an apology. I want to bring me back. I want to go back to what you put me in office for. I think people would have a heart attack. That's what we really need to see, either in thought or deed. Because like I said, people, let me tell you something, they like him. And last word, when he finally waves goodbye, that's going to be the deepest, darkest moment, because nobody in media, nobody's going to have anything to talk about for the next 4 years. People secretly love him because we love to talk about him. He enrages us and he enlivens us. He's a good guy deep down inside.
Jake, can he change? Can he get your vote, your support back?
I mean, maybe if he like apologized and I felt it was genuine, that's like the best thing he possibly could do. I would have to feel it was genuine though. If he went on there and be like, man, I really strayed. I had bad advisors. I completely betrayed America. I'm ashamed. I've failed so hard. I'm going to pull out of the Iraq war. I'm going to start doing my promises. It's possible. It would be hard for him to get my support back. He's strayed so far. He's not representing America. He's not doing any of his campaigns. But I think you nailed it. If he went and like really apologized, because we do love Trump. I did love Trump. It was hard on me to turn on him. Like, people get mad when I first turned on him. It was for a lot of people. People were furious with me, but it's just like I started seeing these flaws. And, you know, maybe I don't know if you're right or not, but if he is an actual patriot, man, it's not too late. But unfortunately, I think that's very, very unlikely for him to like
come back.
The kind of guy that could, but that's his only way out. There's no way out of this war in any good way.
Well, Jake, Lionel, let me just go on and say I'm copywriting Make Trump Again. I think that right there, I think that's a phrase that all of us could get behind, because I think that's what a lot of conservatives feel like. Thank you so much for joining me. We will continue to have this conversation.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Faith is powerful. It shapes lives. It guides decisions and anchors millions of Americans in something greater than politics. But that's exactly why it must be handled carefully, especially in the public square. Because when faith is seen as being used to elevate political figures, when comparisons cross into territory many believers consider sacred, it doesn't just spark controversy, it risks something deeper: credibility, trust, and authenticity. Faith was never meant to serve power. It was meant to ground it. And when that balance shifts, people noticed. See, the question now is whether those in positions of influence will recognize that line or continue to blur it. Thank you for watching. I'm Scottie Dell Hughes, and this has been America First.